place. The singing was incredible, wasn't it? It's a blessing to be before you, to worship our God in spirit and in truth. When we think about that word encounter, it's an interesting word, isn't it? Because every day we have encounters with people. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're awkward. Ray, 2.5 years ago when I came to Fried Hardeman, said, "Hey, Ray, I would really love to speak at Henderson sometime." Ray said, "Okay, I'm going to get you on, man." I said, "This semester?" "Yeah." That semester came and went. I'd see Ray and we'd be this awkward, like, "Yeah, you didn't get on, but you know." So the next year came and went. But here we are, the first time I'm graduating in May and I stand before you. And I know why Ray did that, because, you know, now that I'm about to graduate, everyone who was before me is already gone. So if I embarrass myself, I mean, I'm graduating in May, no one will remember, right? But it's a blessing to be before you. If you'd open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. When we think about encounters, like I said, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. You know those encounters that we have with people? Maybe you were in an interface group and you did all that fun stuff together, and then you get into doing classes and then you see those people but you forget their names. Or you go to work and you know those people but you don't really know those people. When we think about encounters, they're important, aren't they? But how much more important are they when we think about spiritual encounters? Spiritual encounters with the God of heaven. The one who sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. We're going to be looking at a passage we know well. Genesis chapter 3. Open your Bibles with me. Starting in verse 8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from among the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" I have 3 points this evening. When we have encounters with people, this is how the conversation goes. You know, we say the pleasantries, "Hey, how's it going?" And then we'll ask a question. "So, where are you in life in general?" "Well, right now I'm at Fried Hardeman. I'm about to graduate." It's a common progression, isn't it? So our first point this evening is, where are you? And when I say, where are you, something that bothers me sometimes with preachers is, you know, sometimes it comes across like they're preaching at you. You're like, "Hey, that preacher's a person too." So when I ask the question, where are you, what I want us to do here this evening is I wanted to apply it to ourselves. Because when the time comes in our encounter with God at the end of our life, guess who's going to be there? You're going to be there with God. And then when my time comes, I'll be there with God and our walk. But again, look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?'" I want us to notice a couple of things. God wants to know where we are at in our walk with Him. God, this is, if you go back to the beginning, you know, in the beginning God created. He created man in whose image? He created man in His image, didn't He? "Let us make them in our image." You think He cares about His creation? Absolutely. What do we know about John chapter 3, verse 16? "For God so loved the world," that's you and me, "that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross." So when He asked this question, and when we ask ourselves this question, where are you in your walk with God? It's important to know He's asking this question because He cares. So where were Adam and Eve? Let's hide behind these trees. They were trying to hide from the presence of the Lord, the verse says, doesn't it? Why were they trying to hide? Why were they ashamed? What had happened? Now, when we think about our personal walk, encounters usually go about as deep as the relationship, isn't it? In your walk with God and in my walk with God, where are we right now? I know what we'll say. Usually compare ourselves to one another, do things we shouldn't do, stuff like that, you know. But we'll say, "Well, if I'm a student, I'm at Fried Hardeman right now. I mean, we're all here, aren't we? We're here to worship in spirit and in truth." I go to work. I try to do what's right. I make good decisions. I'm doing pretty good. Where were Adam and Eve? They took one step off the path, didn't they? And God said, where are you? We're hiding. They were hiding from the presence of the Lord. How often in our walk, if we are honest with ourselves, and that's what I want this evening. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read this passage probably 4 or 5 times in the time we have. Chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He's saying, look at yourselves. We will not go to judgment for one another, will we? We will go to judgment for what we have done. So this evening, I ask the question, where are you? Where am I in my walk with God? And only if we are honest and we look at our fruits and we look at our labors, what did Jesus say? You'll know them by their fruits. What did Paul say in Galatians? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Where are we? Are we like Adam and Eve here this evening? Yeah, we're at worship. Yeah, we're at Fried Hardeman. But I'm going to say something. I don't know if this is controversial or not. That does not guarantee a ticket to heaven. Doesn't matter if you teach there. It doesn't matter if we go to school there all the time. Doesn't matter if we live in Henderson. That doesn't guarantee us a ticket to heaven. So I want us to ask ourselves, where are we this evening? Think about it. Examine. Like Paul told the church at in Corinth. Second thing I want to look at. Look at the passage again with me. Genesis chapter 3 verse 11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? So our second point this evening is, first we ask, okay, where are you in your walk with God? The second question we'll ask is, how did you get there? Our walk with God. Genesis chapter 3 verse 11, isn't that what he's saying? Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree I told you? How did you get to this position in which you were? Now, okay, let's again be honest with ourselves. We're having a conversation with someone. You know, friends, family, whatever it is. And they're telling you where they're at in life. And it's not a good position. So what do you think? You think to yourself, how in the world did they get there? I'll give you a humorous story. My little brother, when he was younger, he comes downstairs. We lived in Pennsylvania. He comes downstairs with a toilet seat around his head. And of course, the question you ask is, how did you get there? What were you doing with the toilet seat? Looks like a good hat. How did that happen? It's the same question we ask in life. How did you get to where you were? It looked promising, Adam and Eve's in the garden. But now here they are, they recognize they're naked, they're afraid, they're ashamed, they're hiding from God. How did you get here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I know I have. It's at that moment in time that we recognize that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say, how did I get here? I've been in a youth group since I was young. I went to Fried Hardeman. I have this good job. I have a good spouse. How did I get to where I'm at? And I know what maybe some of us are thinking. I'm doing pretty good. With that mindset, we're in a bad spot. Because we're supposed to be growing, right? We're supposed to be admitting when we're wrong, admitting when we fall short. So how did we get here? How did Adam and Eve get there? God wants to know. He says, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? Who told you that you were naked? How did you get here? The encounter that they had with God shows that God cares about them. When your parents or grandparents say to you, how did this happen? It's because they care. Often we see a picture painted of God when we think about judgment. When we think about Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man, we're like, man, that's rough. We had it all figured out there, didn't we? But then here comes Adam and Eve eating from the tree. How did they get there? Go all the way back. Genesis, the beginning of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. We know what happens, right? He comes to them. Notice verse 6 of chapter 3. So the woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. I'll tell you how she got there. She said, the serpent said, well, you won't surely die. God just doesn't want you to know what's really going to happen. She sees the fruit. She's like, if you could eat a fruit and get better grades, you got to admit, that's a nice looking fruit. So how did they get there? James chapter 1 verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Every time we sin, it's because our selfish behavior, our temptations, we've been enticed and have been drawn away from the will of God. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Can we not see that in this account in Genesis chapter 3? What happens at the end of Genesis chapter 3? You get kicked out of the garden, right? So then, the application to ourselves. In our walk with God right now this evening, on today's date, at this moment in time, how did we get here? Have we been drawn away by our own desires like Adam and Eve were? I mean, we all know why Adam fell. Eve came over bearing the fruit. Who is the serpent in our lives? Have you ever thought about that? Who's drawing us away from God? Maybe it's our friends. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, children, if you have children. Who is drawing us away? Because if they're not bringing us closer to God, then they're taking us farther away. Drawing us away from doing the will of God like the serpent. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Because when it comes down to it, we're the only one that can answer this question. We can go to worship Sunday morning, go to Bible class even. Maybe we're late. We go to Bible class even. Worship, we're here Wednesday night. We're singing and we're praying. We're leading in worship if we're a male. We're helping if we're a female. We're doing, it looks like we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. But we're not the scribes and the Pharisees. Think about Matthew chapter 22. How often did Jesus say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs on the outside. The cup is clean on the outside. But on the inside, your cup is dirty. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. How did we get here? When did we start to get away from the will of God? And think about the encounter of God in this moment. He wanted to know where they were. He wanted to know, how did you get here? I've given you everything that you could ask for. How did you get here, Adam and Eve? And then put ourselves in the situation. I've given you my son. I've given you his blood so that we could have a path to get to God. So we could repent, so that we can turn away. He says, how did you get here? Examine yourselves. Our third point this evening, verse 12 through verse 24. Where will this lead? We talk with people, we said, hey, where are you at right now? Well, I'm doing this. Okay, how in the world did you get there? And then the next progression that we think about in our heads, again, we might not say it out loud when we voice this, or we might not voice it at all, but you think to yourself, yeah, I see where this is going. My family, my background's filled with drugs and alcohol, family-wise. And I can see the path in which they're traveling. and I can tell them and say, listen, you keep going this way, it will lead to destruction or prison or one of those things. I can see where the path is going. Can we see where the path is going with Adam and Eve? Of course we can. For one, we know the story. Verse 12 through 13. Look at verse 12 and 13 with me. Is there no clock in this place? You know what that means, Ray. Mm-hmm. Verse 12 and 13. We know this passage. After God says, did you eat the fruit which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me, God, she gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, well, the serpent deceived me and I ate. But again, remember verse 6, she saw the fruit, saw that she could be wise, she wouldn't surely die. Then there's verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, you know what he says. Verse 16, to the woman he said. Verse 17, then to Adam he said, what does he say? He says, I know where this leads. How did you get here? Did I not give you enough? Did I not make you in my image? Verse 21 through 24, they get kicked out of the garden. God wants us to know, when we think about this account, when we think about Old Testament passages, what can we learn? A number of these encounters are based in Old Testament passages. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, what does it say? Those things that were written before were written for our what? Our learning. That when we see it and we read it, we say, yeah, I don't want to go there because I know where this leads. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When it's talking about the things that they partook in the desert. It says, no such thing can overcome you, right? These things are common to man. These things are examples to you for you to learn from, for us to learn from. So when we think about Adam and Eve, what can we know? One, that God cares in his encounters. But two, that he's a just God. And in a just God, there has to be a judgment. And he will hold us accountable. Just because he cares does not mean that there will not be consequences. Think about Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. We think about what Peter says in his second letter. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. But he desires that all men come to repentance. What did Adam and Eve say? Well, you gave me the woman. Well, the serpent deceived me. Accountability and responsibility, where is it? Something that drives me crazy. You ever have those things that drive you crazy? Maybe it's a class, maybe it's a coworker. Something that drives me crazy, and we see it on the news, we see it in the paper, is when people say, well, my family, it ain't my fault. My parents, my this, my that, and they give excuses. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This is essential. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Because this is what it's going to come down to. Every single time when we walk with God, not just when we walk with God, but for the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, according to what she has done. We put in Adam, you put in Eve, we put in ourselves this evening. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, where did it lead them? It led them to be punished. God was there. They encountered God. They were created by God. Is that not the same for you and for me? Yet this is where their walk led them. This is where our walk led us. See, the hardest thing for me about preaching with so many people is like when you preach at a small congregation, you can like look people directly in the eye, you know? But I can barely see the people back there. You know, they're so small. But yeah, we're talking to you, and I'm talking to myself, because on the last day when we're called, it'll be for you and it'll be for me, for the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad, for our encounters in our walk with God. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, should be a memory verse. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What did Paul say in his letter to the church at Thessalonica? Test all things. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves? There's only one person in this room that can say they know me, and that's me. And I've been married for a good long time of 1 year and some kind of days. I've been married for a long time, but my wife doesn't know me. I know me, and God knows me. God knows my heart. What did Jesus say it all the time? I can see your heart. Why do you say these things? I know what you're thinking. This evening, God knows where our hearts are. He knows where our paths will lead because of the decisions that we make, just like Adam and Eve. God wants us to know. He wants us to recognize where we are, how we got there, and where it will lead. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Adam and Eve blamed others, but they were still held accountable. Oftentimes we blame others, but we'll still be held accountable. Our walk with God started with an encounter, didn't it? You remember when you became a Christian? I remember the day we were driving back from a dinosaur lectureship kind of thing. And my uncle asked me, like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Talking about baptism. What's the point of it? And then he asked me a question. Acts 22, verse 16. "Why tarriest thou?" I don't know. I shouldn't be waiting, should I? We went down to the church building to wash away my sins. You remember the encounter that we had to become a Christian? That moment that God, someone met us with the words of God. God met us through those people or through His Word, ultimately. But it doesn't stop after the first encounter. Did it with Adam and Eve? Certainly not. Our walk is a journey. But a journey that has an end. A journey that says if you continue down this path, Jesus said there's two ways. There's the narrow way, which is going to be hard. And it's going to be difficult. You'll have to give up some things. And He says there's the broad way. And a lot of people will go that way. But it's going to lead to destruction. Let us examine ourselves. Where are we? How did we get there? Where will it lead here this evening? Now again, we do this thing when we talk to people. We pretend that something's great. Have you ever done that? Like, "So, how are you doing?" "I'm fantastic." But inside you're thinking, life's bad right now. We put on this facade. It often happens when we come to worship. Like, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Great." But you're sad inside. We can lie to others. We can blame others. But when it comes down to it, in our walk with God, in our encounters with God, it depends upon you. It depends upon me and our relationship with God. So this evening I ask the question, where are we at personally? Again, examine yourselves, because I don't know you. That's why Ray wanted me to speak now. Thomas doesn't know these people. So if he says something dumb, they can't hold it against him. Examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, because we are in the faith or we're out of the faith. We're not riding the fence. There's no fence to ride. So where are we at? How did we get here? And if we're honest, where will it lead? Maybe as we sit here this evening, you haven't had an encounter with God yet. And I hope this is the time. You have encountered Him, and when He says, "Just hear the words that I have to say," For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Not just hearing, but believing. Confessing and repenting of the sins that we have. And why wait, Acts 22:16, putting Jesus Christ on in baptism? To start that walk with God. But for the general assumption that most people here are already Christians, where are we? How do we get here, and where is it going? We're going to sing this invitation song. And when we sing this invitation song, it's not just the conclusion of the sermon. It's not just the time to get out of here. It's not the time to pack our bags, to put our Bibles away. It's our time to examine ourselves and say, where am I going? Is this the narrow way or the broad way? Aiden's going to come forward to lead this song. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And we're going to examine ourselves. Hey, Brother Billy, did you know, however many people are here, that's the number of responses we're going to have tonight? Amen. Because we always respond to a sermon. Did you know that? I just learned it. Everybody's going to respond. You either heed these words and do them, or you ignore them completely. That's up to you. That's up to me. So as we sing this song, let us examine ourselves.